Let's bow briefly in a wee word of prayer as we turn to the word of the Lord this morning, please. Gracious, loving Father, again in the Saviour's name, we turn afresh to Thee. Lord, we do thank Thee for these good old hymns that we've been singing this morning. We thank Thee for the note of praise that have been in our hearts. Lord, as we turn now to Thy word, we do look to Thee afresh that Thou will come very near. Lord, remember the speaker today. Be to him all that he will need. Give us clarity of thought, plainness of speech. Remember the hearer. Give each one the hearing ear, the understanding heart. Take away any distractions. And loving Father, get glory and honor to the man Christ Jesus and our gathering here today as we offer to thee our thanks again for every blessing in the Saviour's worthy name. Amen. Now, the verses that we have read together here this morning in 2 Kings and chapter 4, it brings before us a very human and a very touching narrative from the Word of God. Here we have, right at the very beginning of this chapter, it opens up to us the great difficulty into which a home has descended due to the circumstances of life. And you know, dear friends, it's worth remembering right at the very outset this morning, right from the youngest to the oldest in this gathering, you and I are all on a journey of life today. Every single one of us are on a journey, that journey of life. And that journey of life has many turns, many bends in the road around which we cannot see. You know, dear friends, there are times whenever that journey of life, it can become very steep and very difficult. And indeed, there are times whenever that journey can be a lonely one indeed, with dark shadows from time to time cast across the path of life. I'm sure many in the gathering this morning have been down that road, where dark shadows have been cast across it. And here's a dear soul in our reading here today, and she's on this road, and it's a very, very difficult road that she finds herself on. Someone on a past day likened the journey of life to a battleground, not a playground. And you know, dear friends, every one of us, God's people today, remember, you and I, the Lord Jesus warned us and prepared us for this. John 16, what did he say? He says, in this world ye shall have tribulation. Friends, there's rough patches on the road of life for us all. And very often we're called upon to travel those rough patches. Here's a dear child of God in the scriptures today. Dear friends, here she is, and she's at very low ebb. She's at a very, very low ebb. But you know, friends, she has a wonderful God, and she's about to prove the goodness of God in a remarkable way. She's going to prove him to be a very present help in her time of great trouble. Now, you may be here today. Your circumstances may not and do not have to be just like the ones that are before us here today. But it could well be for some in this gathering today that you're going across a rough patch on the road of life. Well, if that's the case, dear friend, remember this. The Lord wants you to know today that he not only is aware of your struggles, but he's aware of your troubles. Jesus knows all about our troubles, and he will guide till the day is done. And if you're not on that rough patch on the road of life today, remember, there's a day coming when you could be. And the Lord has something to say to you today, I believe, from his word that we have read together. I want us to think first of all about the trouble that this dear lady brought to Elisha here. Look at the trouble she brought to him. Now, in coming to Elisha with her trouble, you know, this dear lady is in effect bringing it before the God of heaven. Because remember, God spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. And here's the prophet here. He's God's representative, and she's coming to God's representative with her trouble. So in effect, she's bringing her trouble right before the Lord. Now, as you look at the way she came with her trouble, it's worth noticing she came fervently. She came fervently, driven by despair. Look at it. She cried. She cried. You see that word cried there? It's the same word as the psalmist used in the first verse of Psalm 77. Whenever he says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. Here's a soul deeply, deeply distressed. And she's crying out, and she knows what it is to come fervently before the God of heaven with her present problems. But she not only comes fervently, she comes frankly and fully. Take a look at it there. There's an honest relating of the facts now. She holds nothing back. She tells the whole lot to him. Held nothing back. Ah, listen, friends. I wonder do we know anything about of coming to the Lord in a fashion like this. Coming frankly, fully, fervently before the Lord and discovering him to be our present help in time of trouble. Oh, dear friends, you and I have a wonderful God. My Psalm 46 in the first verse tells me that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Very often, when trouble comes, we're so blinded by it, we forget the fact that we have a God who cares, one who understands, one who is sympathetic to our needs. Dear friends, what was this trouble now? What was this trouble? She brought her trouble to the Lord, but what was it? Well, look at what she says. My husband is dead. My husband is dead. Here's a dear soul, bereavement has visited her home. And dear friends, if we were to listen to the voice of tradition as expressed by Josephus, the historian, Josephus, he would tell us that this man, he believed this man to be Obadiah, the governor of Ahab's house. And if you were to go back and read there, 1 Kings 18, you would discover, okay, that Obadiah, the governor of Ahab's house, was a man who feared the Lord greatly. And further down the chapter, he's one who hid the servants of the Lord from that wicked woman, Jezebel. Now, whether or not he was Obadiah, I don't know. But one thing we do know, here's a dear soul in our scripture reading this morning, her partner, her provider, her protector in life. He's gone. He's gone. Here she is now, left alone, and I tell you, she feels it. She feels it. You know, dear friends, whenever death visits a home or visits a family, we feel it. We feel it very, very keenly. And here she is. She brings her trouble to Elisha here. There was death in the family, but she's about to discover that Jesus knows all about it. Friends, if you are here today, perhaps you're grieving over someone and perhaps their memories of the past are very precious to you and you feel it today. Listen, Jesus knows all about your troubles. And there's not a sorrow that rends the heart, but the man of sorrows, he bears a part and he careth for you. He careth for you. Yes, there was death in her family. But there was more than that. There was debt in the family. There was debt in the family. Now the day in which we're reading about here, it's not like the day in which we live today. No social security, no benefits, no help from anywhere. Yes, debt in the family. Look at what she says. The creditor has come. The creditor has come. Something's owing and needs to be paid. And here's a creditor. Dear friends, he's coming down hard and heavy to claim that which he believes to be rightly his. This dear soul, look at her here. Mash has seen all her belongings go one after another. Whenever she was asked what she had in the house, what was her answer? Nothing. Nothing. Is it possible that any few things that that dear soul had already been disposed of to meet the demands of the creditor? But listen, she's faced now with the dreadful possibility of having to part with her two sons. That's what the creditor's coming for. He's coming to take them into bondage. You see, if you were to go back to the book of Leviticus there, and especially chapter 25, you would read there that in a situation like this, the creditor was allowed to take the family, or some of the family, take them into bondage and let them work off that amount of debt until the year of Jubilee, whenever they would be set gloriously free. Ah, yes, dear friends, can't you see now why this woman's in great distress? And remember, this is a God-fearing family. A God-fearing family here, and within it, there's great concern for the future. You know, friends, I think many of us could say that as we look out into the future, there's concerns perhaps for us all for the future. You pick up the newspaper, turn on the news day after day, you don't know what you're going to hear next. There seems to be great confusion worldwide today. But listen, for the child of God, remember, we're to leave the unknown future in the Master's hands, whether sad or joyful. Jesus understands. Here you are today. Oh yes, your problems may not be the same as what we're looking at here. But listen, the Lord knows all about it, and he wants to help. But there was doubt in the family as well. Surely that first verse hints at doubt. You see, here's a woman here, and there may be that hint in this woman's words here. And it looks like she's puzzled by the affliction that has been visited upon her and her family. She says, "And there cried a woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that my servant did fear the Lord." Is there a hint of doubt there as to why this trouble has been visited upon her? You know, dear friends, here's a dear soul, and she could quite easily have questioned the Lord's wisdom and doubted his love. Very easily she could have done that. You know, on one occasion, a minister was called to a coal pit disaster. And you know, at that coal pit, many relatives were gathered there waiting news of what had taken place. The minister was sent for, and as he went to that place, he carried with him a lovely piece of tapestry folded up. You know, as he went to speak to that gathering of people, he opened it out and he held it before the people. And on it was those beautiful words, "God is love," beautifully embroidered on that piece of material, just as it had been sketched out beforehand. You know, dear friends, after speaking for a few minutes about this text, "God is love," he just turned it out over upside down and the wrong way round, and he held it up. Did it make any sense then? Absolutely no sense. What did those dear stricken people see? All they could see was the tangled ends of those coloured threads that had been woven into that piece of tapestry in which that text had been inscribed. Dear friends, today, maybe for some in this gathering today, there are things that have happened on the road of life for you. You maybe can't understand it. You're maybe questioning why. And you're asking the question, why? Remember Peter there in John's Gospel in the chapter 13, whenever the Savior visited or washed the disciples' feet, he came to Peter. Peter says to him, "Lord, oh, dost thou wash my feet?" What did the Lord say? "What thou doest now, not now, thou shalt know hereafter." What I doest now, thou shalt know hereafter. Dear friends, It's not till the doom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly that God will unroll the canvas and reveal the reasons why. And further along, we're going to understand it, and we'll understand it better by and by. By there's many things that have happened on the road of life that I have been on. You know, as I think about them sometimes, I often wonder why. Why? But I'm very content to wait until a future day when the Lord unrolls that canvas and reveals the reason why. But I want you to notice, secondly, the truth that was taught by Elisha here. Yes, there's the trouble that she brought to him, but what about the truth that was taught by Elisha? You see, dear friends, whenever that dear lady brought her problem to the servant of the Lord, notice his concern for her. Now, the Bible has a whole lot to say about the widow and the orphan. But you know, dear friends, whenever he spoke to her, listen to how he started. He says, "How can I help? How can I help?" My, there's a sympathetic voice for this dear broken-hearted soul. How can I help? What have you in the house? What have you in the house? Ah, listen, friends, in that house, this dear lady, she had the very key to the situation that she faced. What was the key to the situation that she faced? She had a little flask and a little oil in it, and that's the key to the situation. And Elisha wants to teach her a great lesson here. And he wants to teach you and I, God wants to teach you and I, the same great lesson this morning for the road of life. You see, dear friends, the first thing she's got to do what she's told. She's got to do what she's told. Now imagine what Elisha says to her here. To go out to the neighbors. Go around your neighbors and gather up as many empty vessels, jars as you can get and bring them in. Yes, it may have sounded silly, but listen, I want you to notice something. Here's a dear soul, and she took the servant of God at his word. And she did it immediately. Oh, she didn't wait. She did it immediately. Friends, she was simply to trust and obey. And friends, it's the same today. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And friends, that's what the Lord wants from his people today. That's what he wants. You know, whenever the Lord passed by those two blind men or met with those two blind men on the road there in Matthew's Gospel there, remember what he said to them, "According to your faith, so be it." Friends, here's a test of this woman's faith. Here's a test of this dear woman's faith here. I wonder, friends, do we ever take things to the Lord in prayer? Do we take things to the Lord in prayer, and sometimes the Lord will give us directions and tell us what to do? I wonder, do we do them? I wonder now, do we do them? Yes, we must trust and obey. But you know, she had to do something else. Not only do what she was told, she had to use what she had. She had to use what she had. Now, it may have seemed silly, but can you see this dear soul coming in now? What does she do? She does exactly as she was told to do. She closes herself in. She closes the door. And she closes herself in with her two sons. And when all the distractions are closed out, nothing to distract her, she simply concentrates on what she, a servant of the Lord, has told her to do. My, can you see her there? Ah, yes, she pours out those fluid ounces from one empty vessel to another. Ah, friends, there wasn't much to begin with it. But listen, little as much whenever God is in it. Little as much whenever God is in it. Friends, it's the little things that matter to God. You ever think of some of the little things that are mentioned in the Bible? And the way the Lord used them. What about that little smooth pebble taken from the brook there? Ah, yes, it brought down that great giant, didn't it? What about the little maid that was carried away captive out of the land of Syria? What about that? Oh, yes, she pointed that great man, Naaman. She pointed that great man, Naaman, to the man of God, that his leprosy might be cleansed. What about the little cloud just the size of a man's hand? Ah, yes, it was enough to bring a mighty rain. I wonder, friends, are we small enough? Are we small enough for God to use? Are we? But there's something else. She had to prepare in abundance. She had to prepare in abundance. He says to her, don't ask for just a few. Don't ask for just a few. You see, dear friends, here's a woman and she gathered up all that she could get. And friends, here's a test of the dear soul's faith here. She gathered up all that she could get. You see, dear friends, the Lord's going to teach her a great lesson here. He wants to give her all that she asked for. Friends, there's a God in heaven today and he wants to give to you. And he wants to give to me all that we ask for according to his will. I wonder now, do we ask like that? Do we ask in abundance from the Lord today? Or is it a case of we have not because we ask not? Could that be the possibility? We have not because we ask not? You know, the story has been told, the story has been told of a mother who used to go to the little corner shop for some messages. And you know, with her, she took her little girl on this particular day. And whenever the mother had got the messages there and paid for them, they were just about to leave the shop. And the shopkeeper took down one of the jars of sweets. He unscrewed the top of the jar of sweets and he says to the wee girl, you want to put your hand in there and take some sweets, dear? The wee girl just looked. But she didn't venture to do it. She was too shy to do it. He says, do you not like those sweets? She gave a wee smile and she nodded her head. She liked those sweets. What did the shopkeeper do? He put in his big hand and he just took a big handful of sweets out of that jar and he reached over and he popped them into the wee bag that the wee girl was carrying. Out they went out of the shop and just a little while later the mommy says to the wee girl, why did you not put your hand in when he told you to take some sweets? Ah, she looked up at her mum with a smile and she says, oh, mum, she says, his hand's far bigger than mine. His hand's far bigger than mine. Listen, friends, that's the God that you and I have today. We have not because we ask not. It doesn't impoverish our God to withhold. It doesn't enrich him to not give it to us. Our friends, he's more willing to give than we are to receive. But there's one last thing I want us to notice here. There was a triumph here that was wrought for Elisha. A triumph that was wrought for him. You know, if there'd been newspapers in that day, I wonder what the headings would have been. Some days when you lift the newspaper, you go into the shop and you look at the newspapers and my, the headings, big bold print. You don't know what you're going to read next. I wonder what the headings would have been on this day, the day after this, if there had been newspapers. Well, I don't know what they would have been. Well, one thing here is, here's a woman and she proved the adequacy of God. She proved the adequacy of God. You picture her, that little flask, going there from vessel to vessel to vessel. The doors closed and in the quietness, she fills one vessel after another, and she does what she's told. She sets them aside. Then she gets to the point and she says to one of the lads, bring me yet a vessel. Bring me yet a vessel. What did the lad say? There's not a vessel left. Not a vessel left. Friends, notice this. It was the vessels that ran out, not the oil. The vessels ran out, not the oil. And friends, we have a God, and he can meet our need way beyond anything that we can ever ask or think. How does he supply our need? He can supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Who amongst us today can plumb the depths of those words, the riches in glory by Christ Jesus? Friends, today he can supply all our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, whenever there was hunger there in Israel, what did the God of heaven do? Ah, yes, God provided barns there in Egypt, and he had them packed with grain. And he instructed Pharaoh there to feed the people, Genesis 42. Whenever the water was bitter there at Marah, what did the Lord do? Yes, he intervened there and he changed it into a cool, refreshing stream, Exodus 15. What about the three Hebrew lads there that were put in the fiery furnace? Well, the Lord was with them there. He was with them. What about the Apostle Paul over in the New Testament times? Well, in 2 Corinthians there in chapter 3 in the verse 5, listen what he said. Our sufficiency is of God. Our sufficiency is of God. Friends, today, we have one today who can meet our physical need. He can meet our spiritual need. He can meet our material need. And he can meet our emotional need. That's the God that we have today. But you know, there's something else that she proved here. She not only proved the adequacy of God, she proved the ability of God. She proved the ability of God. You see, dear friends, the Lord was able to meet her critical need. Now, you remember what her critical need was. It was the paying off of this great debt that endangered her family and indeed herself being taken and carried into bondage. Well, he was able to meet her critical need. Listen to verse 7. Sell the oil and pay thy debt. Why, there was enough oil there for the dear soul to yet raise the money and pay off the debt. Oh, yes, the critical need. He was able to meet it. But he was able to meet even more than that. Her constant need then. Live thou of the rest. You see, after the debt's paid, the dear lady and her sons, they've got to live on. Ah, yes, live thou of the rest. But you know, he was able to meet their collective need. Thou and thy children of the rest. Thou and thy children of the rest. Friends, this is the God that you and I have today. The God of this dear woman, remember, is the God who changes not. Yes, dear friends, he's able. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above what we can ask or think. But you know, dear friends, before we part today, it could be in this meeting, and maybe you're here, and you don't know the Savior. Could it be that you're out of Christ and without a Savior, with no hope, no refuge nigh? My dear friend, you have a tremendous need today. And you're in great danger today because you're already in the bondage of sin. And friends, you need to be saved now. You need to be saved, and you perhaps have heard that many times in the past. I know that your minister here will not have you coming here and you not know that. You need to be saved. But furthermore, there's only one who can save you. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Perhaps you're here today and you're saying, well, preacher, I've heard that all before. But how can I be saved? How can I be saved? There is one way and one way only, and it's God's way. It's the way of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, I'm glad to be able to tell you before we part and go our way, there's a way back to God today from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that's open. You can go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. And that's what you must do, dear friend. You must see your great need, your awful danger. Acknowledge your great need before the God of heaven. Repent of it. What does that mean? It means turn away from it completely. Turn your back on it. Have done with it forever. Look in another direction and look to Christ. And rest upon what he has done. Oh, listen, friends. He died an atoning death for thee. He died an atoning death. Oh, wondrous love. Oh, wondrous love, I'll shout and sing. He died for me, my Lord and King. Will you come and rest on what he has done today? And if you do, call upon his name for salvation. In a moment of time, you'll pass from death unto life, and you'll come to know the one who sticketh closer than any other brother. Until travelling days are done. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts today for his name's sake. Amen.